This is the June 24th, 2026 meeting of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee of the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission. Present are
Convene the meeting at 10:01 a.m.
thank you, 10:01. And present are J.J. Lamb,
Here.
Ian Milliken, Steve Grady,
You need to do your own members first to make sure we have
Tim. Yes, thank you.
a
Just run this meeting.
quorum. Sorry.
Okay. So we have J.J., Tim, and myself here.
Each has to say something so that we have a report.
Okay, JJ.
Here.
Good.
Tim Haggard here.
Helen here. Three of five. This is a quorum. We also present Ian Milliken from Pima County and Jonathan from City of Tucson. Caleb. Could you?
Is Storm Shade.
Caleb is from Storm Shade. And who is a phone number ending in 370?
That would be me, Helen. Hello, it's Blake.
Blake. Okay.
Blake Houghton joined at 10:03 a.m. Steve Grady is here.
Steve is here twice. Okay, who is our facilitator and officially a non-voting representative to the whoever you are? Okay, good. Okay, so the first thing after this roll call is the approval of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee from the meeting of March 20.
Actually, you will want to call for the attendance of your subcommittee members, the one member who's not currently here.
Jessica Bassi.
He's not currently here. Okay, now it's in
Okay.
place.
So good to have parliamentarian. Okay, so I need to get a motion to approve the minutes of April 22, 2026. Do we have such a motion?
I move to approve the minutes for the meeting of April 22nd, 2026.
This is JJ, I'll second.
Okay, vote on that. Jessica's not here. Okay, Tim, I'm doing a vote.
Okay. Hi.
JJ,
I.
Blake.
Hi.
Okay, so four,
Ellen, how are you doing?
one, four,
Great.
two,
Hi. Great.
four. Okay, next item. Is the review cases, the Kiros Park Path, and Caleb, I guess that is you presenting on that.
Yes. First, I just want to confirm that everyone can hear me.
Yes. Yep.
Great. All right. I'm going to share my screen, but hello, my name is Caleb Ortega. I work with Storm to Shade. We are a division within conservation at Tucson Water. We have partnered with Parks, and they are as part of their, I think 407 bond improvements, are adding a Walking Path and a Ramada to David G. Herrera and Ramon Quiroz Park. Hopefully you can see that plan set now that I have pulled up. Their walking path encompasses and to orient ourselves to the right is the northern end, and then to the left is St. Mary's. Their walking path encompasses essentially the whole park going around. It is an asphalt path, pretty bare bones. And then they are adding a Ramada closer to their activity center where there is already kind of a seating area. I am mainly here to present today about our joining on to the project to include green stormwater infrastructure improvements, mainly on this northern side. What it encompasses is, I like to think of it as two main areas. Off North Conson Avenue, we are proposing a couple basins that would harvest stormwater off of the road, kind of eddy them in those areas, and just provide some green space, trees, shade over the sidewalk, and the exit of the path. Secondarily, and the larger part of the project would be adding a series of basins along the pathway, trying to get some shade, enhance some shade along the pathway. And included here are actually berms. We notice that water flow moves from the southeast side to the, I suppose this would be northwest side. So these berms would act as places where some moisture could collect and more plantings could happen there. The current trees that are here already, the large pine trees, I believe we have eucalyptus, some other varieties, maybe oak. We're proposing to put supporting new irrigation on them. Right now, they're only receiving turf grass irrigation, but as a part of this side of the project, we would propose removing the turf grass to supplement our native GSI wishes for this project. So, removing turf grass, adding basins, adding supporting irrigation for the trees, and then adding these right-of-way basins make up the majority of our project. Jonathan helped me in the initial scoping of this project, and I thought it would be important to show y'all the expansion that took place at the park, just so you can get a sense of where the GSI falls along that. And if you see, this side makes up its current extents, just roughly make a shape, but you can see if you overlay it, we're looking at the GSI mainly impacting what was residential areas prior to 19. I'm not sure if 1979 is exactly where it expand when it expanded. Yes. Any questions so far? I'm just going to kind of go through the details of our basins and plant lists.
I, oh, I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
I mean, I'm not a member.
One question. Are the paths lower than the ground so that it allows the water to go over into the basins?
So it is actually, no, it is not. We are using the pathway as a impervious surface to collect a little bit of water off of the path. But
The water
remember,
is low. past the path to the drainage, the catchment.
Yeah, I think when I put this arrow here, I kind of confused us. Generally, the slope of this area is here, but we're using the pathway as a barrier to prevent the turf grass from spreading into our area. So our water source is the path itself, and then whatever falls on the area.
Gotcha.
And
I do have a question about, I'm trying to get a sense from the historic photos to what is currently there. Can you help me understand, was the park truncated? Is that what happened? If you can help me understand from the historic photos. Maybe it's an orientation issue where north
yeah.
is going up.
North is up in this photo, where in this photo, north is to the right. All right, you can see the north arrow here.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, let I don't know if I can rotate it anyway, but yeah, north is oriented this way in all these photos. So if you're talking about truncating kind of this direction here.
No, I see that I see the form
Yep.
with a completely different orientation. So,
Yeah. Got it. Yeah. Go ahead.
actually have one question in terms of the path. Is there some way that that path can be slightly graded towards the water collection? Would that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, and it will be. We of course want to use it as a source of water for the basins. So it will have a ADA compliant slight grade towards, in this case, the north, so that anything that does fall on it kind of gets captured in these initial basins.
And then the other question, you've removed the turf. What are you replacing turf with?
Right now, we are just calling for decomposed granite in 90% development. That may change. So we've had sometimes that the decomposed granite migrates into basins, kind of unwanted sediment. But currently, we are calling for decomposed granite. If it's not decomposed granite, it would be some similar small rock. Yes.
Okay, and this is intended to be a collection area. It's not intended for any other use.
It is intended for just rainwater collection, native harvesting, planting area, where we've spaced out basins such that people could walk through. There are large trees already there. No, it's not. This area is not designated specifically for people to picnic or mostly just walking through.
So one of the things I've noticed from your historic aerial, especially the 1967, is that there is some perimeter tree planting. And it looks like that you're maintaining, with the exception of the extension of the park, it looks like you're maintaining trees in those areas. In the basins that are adjacent to, and I forget the name of the road, it starts with a C. Constant. Are you planning on putting trees in those two basins that you have there?
We are, I believe. Let
That
me
would
get
help
my.
continue that perimeter tree tradition.
Yeah, let me get to the landscape plan. Yes. So, in here we have A mix of everything, essentially. Velvet mesquites, ironwoods, foothills palo verde, and desert willows. All throughout that area. As you can see from our planting plan as well, we're supplementing all of these basins get some sort of trees to supplement the existing larger trees that are there. Moves into our plant list if there's no other questions. All right, so I went over it, but desert willow, palo verde, ironwood, and velvet mesquite. Large box trees make up the majority or all of our trees. With shrubs, we have brittlebush, tuberosa, creosote, desert hackberry, desert honeysuckle, wolfberry, flat-top buckwheat, globe mallow, fairy dusters, and white thorn acacias. Suppose these white thorn acacias could be considered a tree shrub, depending on how you grow them. For grasses, we have Arizona cottontop, deer grass, side oats grama, and then banana yucca, bear grass, and agave. The basins themselves will have within them a desert cobble mix, so anywhere from larger rocks 3 inches in diameter to small 1 inch rocks with spacing in between them for bare soil. It's kind of mimicking the natural desert environment you might see. Also, we're getting away from putting wood chip mulch within basins. We find that it often migrates away from the basin itself into different areas of the parks or into roads. So, kind of going with the rock mulch situation. You can see decomposed granite called out for large parts. Where there's a barrier where it doesn't show decomposed granite, there's already no grass existing here. Let's see. And I think that might be all for the planting plan. Any questions on this? Of note, one new thing starting to shade. Working with this designer plan is doing are these raised crescent shapes mounds. They essentially are an effort to. I'll pull up the detail. But it just disappeared. It is just another effort to kind of hold water at the site. Crescent berm. Just give it another stop before. But we typically build basins. We do berms to maybe move water, but keeping a moist section of flow here or of water here is something new we're trying. Also of note, Jonathan said that this is going to be a high potential for archaeological finds. They, in fact, have found things when trenching before. So this water retention sponge that they say are digging 30 inches down, we don't find this necessary, so we're going to remove this, and we'll have archaeological monitoring for all of our irrigation trenching. I wish I could present more information about the Ramada or the pathway itself, but I'm mostly involved with the GSI section. Parks, my coworker Elliot is out this week.
What exactly is R3? Is that a playing field or what?
Zoning.
It's just a
Yeah,
zone.
I believe it's zoning type.
So it's not a. Okay, so this is the end of the park right there.
Yep.
Okay.
Those are one's a parking lot, I think, up top there, and then those are houses below it.
Okay.
A parking lot for, I think, like ride sharing for the freeways. So you
Okay.
can pull off the frontage road there. I don't know if.
No, it's just interesting because this is obviously a park. The design is focused into the park, which makes perfectly good sense.
Yeah, the I suppose the only consideration that is r large change that may happen is our outreach team member, so that the people here really do y utilize this area as overflow parking. If you see, this is the extent of the parking they have on this east side. Or they have this parking lot here. So we might shrink up a basin right here just to allow people to continue using it. But this entire stretch of road is available for parking. So we are going to outreach with the neighbors and see how they feel about that. But I would see this as the only major change that could happen, maybe shrinking the size of this.
Steve, did you want to follow up on the trees on the edge?
So sure. So when we take a look at a historic property, we take a look at its form, we take a look at character defining features, we especially in relate how it relates to other designed parks, design features that were common to a time and place. Perimeter trees are one of the primary elements in turf. The turf, the open space, and the playfields, which been a long time feature of the park. So the perimeter trees are one of the elements that we would feel would. Warren, we appreciate your keeping adding irrigation to the eucalyptus and the pine and keeping them as long as they can be maintained and having succession planting, which would have a sense of green along the perimeter. So that's very strong. You can see that there's a certain spacing of trees that happen along the perimeter there. And if you were to remove those two basins due to parking, I would encourage incorporation of trees at least to the park side of the parking area.
Okay, it's a great note.
And trees with, you can see a similar spacing and location that form a row. So if that happens to kind of build a little bit upon that, then something that has a taller structure, you know, the foot is already will never get to that. But I think, did you
Oh,
have
at Mesquite's maybe.
Mesquite, and do you have hackberry?
Yeah,
Even
Mesquite.
Mesquite ironwood. Would probably be the ones with a little bit taller structure.
Okay, perhaps we could favor those in these basins.
And that's an if, so.
All right. Great note. We appreciated, of course, we're always trying to find the balance between ornaments if there if we can phase out and keeping the park function and aesthetics. So we left a large chunks of the green space beyond or the turf beyond the ballpark so that people could still sit enjoy this maybe while a game's going on they're backed up next to the walking path able to watch the games but I think at first we had thought of shrinking it essentially up to the limit of the ballpark but I felt that there still needed to be this multi-use turf area, for lack of better words.
So the gazebo is in a totally different area then.
The gazebo is in a totally different area. It is,
Okay, I didn't bring the pieces together.
yeah, it is closer. It's honestly easy to see in the aerial. So, in the pool area, there's the activity center, there's an existing seating area, and Parks is just proposing to put a gazebo right smack in the center here where there's already a couple picnic tables. I can show you the detail of what that you have it in the plan. But I think your standard 20 by 20 Mesa Ramada.
It, bramble roof form. It's sympathetic to time and space, yeah. Place. It's looks like Fannie Mae seam roof.
Looks like a standard gazebo.
Standard, but sensitive.
Okay, jumping back. Does anyone have any additional questions about the landscaped area of the water detention?
I do not.
JJ? Blake?
I
No questions.
No questions, I'm sorry.
I don't think we've made any substantive changes there, so
I think when we take a look at this, we would take a look at the addition of circulation. Circulation is something we look at, in addition, which is that pathway. You take a look at loss of turf and address those as part of the motion or something as our consideration. I personally feel that this is very sensitively done. So, but I'm not going to make a motion yet.
yeah. Tim, would you like to make that motion?
So, yeah, so I, so there would be a motion that would be made that would, move this forward, but take a look at,
Don't think we need to take a look at it, but I think when there's loss of some historic feature or form, that there be a reason or a reason why it's appropriate.
So I make a motion that we move forward with this park design and just acknowledge that there are some changes, but they're taking into consideration the loss of greenery or the grass and some sort of adding of plant different types of planting. But that has been considered in sort of the environment we're in, the loss of water and the needs of today's current use in the parks.
And we might acknowledge the the circulation need of if does anyone object to that circulation?
The pathway, the circulated path. I think that that kind of falls into what the motion of the current need for use of the park, and that it still sort of honors the one, it's some of this is outside of what was originally the park, and over time the park expanded as I don't know if it was loss of homes or the blight, whatever the term is. There was a but yes, we'll the acknowledge that I think the path and all that.
And commend the maintenance of the trees.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Commend the maintenance of the trees.
Oh, yes, yeah, exactly. Commend. So I'm just going to step back and start afresh.
It's still in process.
We're still working this out. Okay.
So I make a motion that we move this design forward and just acknowledge that there are the changes to the historic park, in that there is a loss of some of the grass areas. There is a change in some of the planting and addition of different types of trees that, and just acknowledge that that has been taken into account with the change of the use, the change of the space, and also change in environment, and that the and we commend that there's taken action on adding, supplementing the loss of water, but also to maintain the current trees that were historically there, and also to, maybe assist some of the new ones that are being planted that, that will be offset by the water catchment areas, and that, the acknowledge of the addition of the pathway as part of the, change of needs and use, and also to implement that folks use the park as well as just not just view it. And also the addition of shade from a ramada so people can, also engage, and that potentially there will be a change if the neighborhood and people need to some additional parking, that there may be some alterations to one of the water catchment areas, and we'll take into consideration maybe some more linear tree plantings of some of the, larger scale trees potentially.
If we can,
get somebody,
we can move that power.
Give me a second.
Give me a second.
Yep. JJ or Blake.
This is JJ. I'll second.
Okay, let me call roll. Tim.
Aye.
JJ.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Helen. Aye. Passes 4-0. Okay, that was a really nice presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, the next item that was added here was the hydroseeding of native grasses at historic Fort Lowell parade grounds. Who is in charge of that?
I'll kind of take the lead on it if I can.
Thank you.
Sure. So earlier in the month of June, Demi and Klinko approached county administration about requesting some assistance from the flood control district with regards to stabilizing the area currently known as the parade ground for Fort Lowell. On the left of the screen, you'll see that kind of 1.25 acre area that sits kind of in between the officers' quarters and the Atkins property. On the right, you'll see some current pictures. Recently, the cottonwoods have been planted out there as an effort between Demian and the city of Tucson with some irrigation, trying to recreate Cottonwood Lane in compliance with the master plan. And Demian noted that the surface was susceptible to a lot of sheet flow and to dust and so forth. And when we analyzed it, I mean, it was actually pretty intact and pretty stable. You can see some relatively modest grasses that are growing out there, but we worked with flood control and and they had some end of year money. So the proposal is to use a local seed mix that flood control has used within this region and does really well, especially when you're adding it at this time of year with the upcoming monsoons. We're not proposing any additional irrigation or any additional water treatment. It's just literally propagating the seed, and hopefully it takes with the monsoon and then germinates kind of throughout the year. It will require about 4 to 6 inches of scarification to scarify the soil to get things going. We will have that archaeologically monitored due to the sensitivity. And so really that's the project in a nutshell. It's pretty minimally invasive. It's just to start adding some substance to cultivate the area to get some grasses growing again in this area.
So, Ian, a question would be, is once this grass, the grasses are there, what kind of maintenance?
Zero. It's
Zero.
maintenance free.
Is there a temporary irrigation system to get these to establish?
No, there is not, and it's actually not intended. It's more to allow kind of natural processes during the monsoon season to get things going, and then they would kind of be dependent on conditions, and the seed actually holds up pretty well. In looking at the Fort Lowell design guidelines, there are some of the grasses that were identified in those design guidelines that are in the seed mix, but then there are a few others that are still entirely native that produce well in kind of intermittent drought conditions, as opposed to the ones that were identified in the design guidelines.
So, when we take a look at dust control on Pima County, traditionally there's a wetting requirement. I know that the concern is if there's dust and if we don't have as monsoon, and so there's no germination and you've scarified the surface, will that potentially create a dust problem?
It's a great question. unlikely, no. It's pretty compact out there, and by scarifying the soil, you can see we're not removing any of that rock. So all of that kind of gravel coating is going to be intermixed with it to continue to stabilize. What's happened with that surface is it's become pretty impermeable. That's why there's not a lot growing out there. This is going to help kind of loosen that up to promote a little bit more vegetative covering to further stabilize it. But I mean, to be quite honest, I disagree with Demian. Right now, there is not a dust issue out there. That kind of gravel has been doing pretty well in my view in talking with neighbors and so forth. So I think from our standpoint of whether this is going to add more potential dust, my understanding from flood control districts is it will not.
Well, it looks like it's somewhat of a driveway now and a parking lot. Is that going to continue or will that cease to occur?
Yeah, so the parking lot is actually outside of that area. So the area that we is used for parking is kind of north west of that area. This area is traditionally kind of like an overflow parking lot, but this area has never really wanted to be used for parking, especially now that we're trying to, the city has been permitted the cottonwoods to be planted with irrigation to kind of reestablish the limits of the parade ground. I mean, the master plan The phase two of the master plan called for fully reestablishing the parade ground. And then, as part of that, and we don't need to get into this in this conversation, considering the Atkins residents' fate as part of that development of phase two of the master plan. Right now, it's solely just to add some native grasses back into the portion of the parade ground that is the 1.25 acres, which does not represent all of it. Because historically, the parade ground continues onto the Atkins parcel.
About the other question, just for context here, historically, this would have had grass
Yes.
on it. Yeah. So it is, in a sense, a restoration Johnny, did you have any additional comments on this?
No, the county is taking the lead on this, but City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office is aligned with the county on this. And Ian also presented at the Fort Lowell Historic Zone Advisory Board earlier this week.
And was the concept approved?
So it was a courtesy review for the advisory board, and they had no objection to it. They were scrutinizing the seed mix a little bit, but because of the fact that we are not we're proposing a kind of maintenance-free aspect of it, this is the most durable seed mix and most appropriate native seed mix that would have the ability to kind of survive more intermittent drought conditions, but still take with kind of minimal rainfall. And so we're hoping that the monsoon season helps establish it, and then the routine kind of intermittent rains that we have throughout the year will help foster that.
Just again, out of curiosity, what is the general height of those grasses?
They're fairly low. I think I don't remember exactly, but less than a foot easily.
Okay. In other words, we don't have a mixture that is
No.
randomly. Okay. Any other questions? Oh, would someone like to make a motion?
I make a motion to move forward with the proposed addition of grasses to the parade ground as a potential softening and potential dust control of the property.
Any additions? Anyone second?
This is
This is
Blake. I'll second.
second. Did you want to say something, JJ?
No, I was going to second. Yeah, that's all. Yeah.
Okay, roll call. Tim.
Aye.
JJ.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
I passes 4-0. Thank you. Okay. The next item, which is the Army Park Review that happened on May 18th, I don't really think there's much that we need to go over with that, just other than to state that it occurred. And it seems to be a very practical way of dealing with minor landscape issues. We met with the Storm and Shade people, and we did a change of vegetation, basically, to change from Ocotillo to, what was it?
It was ironwood. continue
to continue the
visual connectivity of a row of trees.
thought. Right. And it seemed to be a very practical situation. So the main question to bring this up right now, is there anyone on this subcommittee who feels that the process is not appropriate, that this is not something we should do? Actually, for Johnny, perhaps you could give your opinion on this, if I
Yeah. Yeah. So to kind of just summarize this, this is a Storm to Shade project that is, located on the east side of Armory Park, by the community center, and serves to kind of use the water from the community center's roof, and uses GSI to kind of save water and provide more shade to the sidewalks. It also kind of went a little bit outside like the park managed boundary into the right of way. I reviewed the plans and I thought the plans were appropriate, and I was kind of like an added benefit to the park. And the Storm to Shade folks, took some comments from Steve and Helen about replacing some Ocotillo with ironwood to have more, complete like sight lines per se. I thought that was a really good comment, and they were able to accommodate that in their planning.
I guess the question here is, we have sort of engineered this type of review, and it clearly was acceptable to me since I was involved. It was acceptable to you. You felt it was adequate review in terms of the city, right, Johnny?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Go ahead.
The scale of this Storm to Shade project was relatively small in comparison to the very large project that is currently going on at Armory Park. And so it felt appropriate to us that like a little bit more of a limited review.
You're going to say something.
So it, it this is work being done on what was already determined to be the portion of the park that didn't have existing, which is east of the historic fabric intact. It also did come through the full Armory Park Historic Zone Advisory Board meeting, because we had a meeting shortly after, so it did come through that as well.
As opposed to the Historic Landscape Subcommittee, this is the Advisory Board.
Correct. So I was a representative of the Armory Park Historic Zone Advisory Board for that meeting, but because it's there was an opportunity, it also came through as an item on the advisory board's agenda.
Okay, so if here's what I'm here's where I'm going with this. Should we at this point make a motion that we are going to follow this pattern in the future, that it is a working pattern, so that if Johnny wants to have that kind of thing, and he has a member of the advisory board and a member of the subcommittee, and meet with him and whoever is doing the design, is this an acceptable process, or do we have to have the full Historic Landscape Subcommittee involved?
So what you're introducing is a minor review process, and
Correct.
I believe that the minor review process is fully appropriate and was appropriate in this situation. But I'm not motioning.
No, I just would like to get a sense from JJ and Blake and Tim what they feel about this. Are you comfortable with it? Is it subject to abuse? Is it, you know?
Like these minor changes and
Yeah.
not coming back. I mean, I guess everything's subject to abuse, but I mean, I think, but I think until that starts occurring, I think we would, they're again minor, but if it starts becoming problematic, then we would rein that in instead of,
Well, I believe that, again, I might as well just jump in because it's something I've put quite a bit of thought to. If the modifications, if there are not modifications to historic fabric, if it is small in scope, then it could come before a minor review. I believe that any member who's attending, either representing the Historic Landscape Subcommittee or the, if it's within a historic district, the advisory board member, or the City of Tucson's Historic Preservation Office representative, if either of the three believe that it really needs to come to a full review, then that process happen. But if all three can agree that it is a minor review and work out any changes, I believe it will save a tremendous amount of time in the review process.
Okay. Other comments, Blake?
That sounds very reasonable to me.
Okay.
Yeah, it
Just
sounds reasonable to me too. Sorry, I was trying to hit the unmute button and it
Okay,
wasn't
so
going.
just for the record, I think we should probably have a motion on this so we have a record somewhere that this actually is supposed to happen. I think we have all got that we need to have a Historic Landscape Subcommittee member, Advisory Board member, City of Tucson member who will deal with things that are not a modification to historic actually materials and small in scope, and that if these three individuals agree it should be a minor review, that we will use this process in the future to facilitate, quick action as a bit. Would someone like to make that motion?
I think somebody could just say so moved. That was beautiful.
So moved.
Thank you. Okay,
This
second.
is
JJ, I'll second.
And let me call roll on that. JJ.
Hi.
Jim.
Hi.
Blake.
Hi.
Kevin. I pass 4-1. Okay, I think that's a good idea. Okay. Ian, I suspect you are waiting for us to talk about the revised Pima County cultural landscape definition. And what would be really helpful, there are a couple of things here, and I didn't send it to you last night. I just got back from California, but Steve has a copy which he can post. Could you tell us where this is going and just explain the bits and pieces that you put together here.
Sure. The draft of the consultation with tribal nations policy that you're looking at is dated June 22nd. This is the current version that has now been sent back to tribes after now 2 rounds of comments. Tribes that have participated are the Tana'atam, the Pasquayaki, Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community, Gila River, and Ak-Chin. We continue to engage with up to 15 federally recognized tribes in Arizona, but the fact that we have the four southern tribes in Pasquayaki participating is obviously geographically and regionally most important. So this definition is a result of two comments we got, one from Pasquayaki and one from Tana Othem. And how it and the significant change is not the cultural, natural, and ecological, which were in the original definition, but it's really adding this spiritual features and the tie of the practice of a community in its historical, cultural, ceremonial, traditional practices. The other major change, and we added it with relation to spiritual, is that sacred beings are presences, right? So we need to de-Westernize it specifically because this cultural landscape definition is intended to support an indigenous worldview. We also broadened it per Pasquayaki beyond TEK, traditional ecological knowledge, to acknowledge a larger set of knowledge systems of which TEK is only one part, right, in the ecological value, but other tribal knowledge systems, including relationships that extend beyond the solely physical or visible environment. Again, taking it more broadly out of that westernized approach. So that's the major feedback, major change that has now been adopted into this definition in which we can continue consultation with the tribes.
So, Ian, a question I would have, because this is important to us as a subcommittee, is the connect. We've always worried about the fact that we did not include tribal perspective, especially JJ. I think you sort of were the leader on that discussion. Do you feel that this definition, barring any future tweaks of, little bits and pieces, could be the general definition for all of the work that is undertaken in Pima County that has to do with cultural landscapes? Is it comprehensive, I guess? And I'm starting by asking you.
I mean, I absolutely do, because the more westernized definition of a cultural landscape, I think, is less on the I think adding the components that we add broadened it to be inclusive of indigenous landscapes by their definition, right? By a shared definition. I think what we originally had was a more classic definition that can be broadly applied to all of Pima County in acknowledging the relationship between what is traditionally material culture, right? So places, objects, sites, districts, the five that kind of fit a National Register definition, but then synthesizing in the natural environment that can also play a role in cultural identity in a cultural landscape. So the areas in between material culture, adding just the ecological values. But what it really does is we also enhance it by adding in landforms and waters and other natural resources that play an absolute part in defining a cultural landscape. So yes, I do. I think this is the most inclusive definition that would be could be broadly applied to anywhere in Pima County.
Okay. Johnny, I would like to put you on the spot for the city of Tucson. And would the city of Tucson be comfortable with this definition?
Yeah, I think I appreciate, like all the effort that like Pima County has been doing on this process. I would be comfortable with it. I think it would be something that I would like to review myself, but yeah, I do have no concerns.
That's just to be clear for everyone, it's important you recognize this last sentence because Pima County is balancing what adding new kind of regulatory compliance requirements with that are more in the project specific kind of vein of consultation with programmatic consultation. And this policy identifies both of those, right? So Pima County for over 25 years has been voluntarily under, not mandated under state, federal, to consult with tribal nations on the effects to cultural resources that have connection to tribes, right? So if we're building wastewater infrastructure up at Aina Road in Las Capas, of course we're communicating with tribes. Again, it's non-mandated, right? Because outside of the federal system, there is no mandate that requires local governments to consult with tribes and offers them an ability to provide input and information. But in practice, of course, the county's been engaged in this for a long time. The area that we have not adequately defined is the co-stewardship of the lands in which Pima County has set aside, and the people of Pima County have voted to set aside for long-term conservation. And so the programmatic consultation is where the integration between that stewardship and management comes to pass, in which this landscape definition is most important. What we can't do is we can't adopt this definition for Section 106 projects because the federal framework does not allow us to do that. And a federal agency that would be the lead federal agency would not necessarily allow us to rewrite 36 CFR 800. But because we are the proponent of a project, similar to what we're doing on Middle Mile, there are rules in 36 CFR 800 that say you must consider your effects on historic properties. It says nothing about archaeological sensitivity, yet because Pima County does this, and we do consider archaeological sensitivity, we just do the project above and beyond what the regulations require us to do, and we're allowed to do that. So I think we can be creative in how this definition of cultural landscape gives us a consideration of the relationship between historic properties, not just discrete bounded areas, but the areas in between those sites of the significance that they have and the effects that an undertaking may have on, traditional cultural places or areas that are absent of material culture or, accepting the fact that biological or ecological resources or landforms can be in themselves considered cultural resources. We have a lot more leeway with that to do that. And so this just creates a baseline for that to help guide us in that programmatic consultation. And then the information we receive through programmatic consultation, we then apply to project-specific consultation. It's a continual learning of expanding that definition and expanding the understanding of things that tribes help us identify through the programmatic lens, if that makes sense.
I should have mentioned, everyone, by the way, that last sentence for the purposes of this policy. I think, in terms of a generic definition for us, we probably would not include that
Sure.
specific, that, policy part, but simply to focus on the expanded concept of the meaning of a landscape. And someone told me that in England, that actually trees have a cultural landscape identity of their own, which apparently, when they cut down that tree recently, if anybody knows that story, it was in some sense considered equivalent to murder because of the fact that there are groups in England who consider trees as spiritual beings. And of course, we have many concepts within our tribal perspectives that perceive living things in a similar way. So I would hope that this definition would give expanded the expanded context we need to talk about the seriousness of destroying trees, I guess is what I'm talking about.
This definition is much more in line It's very close to UNESCO's definition of a landscape in which they integrate the natural and cultural and ecological environment. I think there's more definition in ours in terms of the spiritual connection as well as the practice of culture that continues and is important for the to sustain that legacy of cultural tradition. So it's not exactly UNESCO's, but the original definition that I started with was much more in line with UNESCO's, and then which the US is far behind in catching up with that model. But I think that enhancing it to include this kind of, again, de-Westernized approach or view makes it the most comprehensive it could be. I mean, do you see any major things missing from here? Any major components or connections?
No, I like the fact that it moved beyond the physical to cultural to spiritual to, the, should we call them the layers of significance
Yeah,
here?
and oral traditions, that's a big one too,
Yeah.
is think songscapes and think and this is already come to be, but songscapes and stories are absolutely part of the definition of a cultural landscape.
No, I really, really like this. Think it's very meaningful and yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you totally. Now it says discussion and action. Tim has to leave in 2 minutes.
Okay.
And so I was wondering if maybe we wanted to take action while he was here and able to do so.
I would, Blake, are you comfortable or would you? Do you have an
The
objection?
only objection that I have to this definition is the inclusion of the words cultural and landscape in the definition.
Right, you wrote to me, but it's defining itself. Do you
Because
think?
then it's defining itself. That is the only issue that I have with it, is that it's circular. It's circular. It becomes circular logic.
But I think what we've been talking about right now, Blake, is the conceptual.
I think conceptually it's fine.
Okay.
As the anthropologist and landscape, focused person, right? Or where those two schools meet, right? I think that this is a perfectly fine working definition. And so my only issue then becomes grammatical.
What
And
would you propose as the defined feature?
let's see, let me scroll down and pull up that email. So
Because,
what I was suggesting was a geographic area that includes features which are artificial or natural in origin associated with the traditional practices of a community, which reflect the relationships between people, landforms, waters, plants, animals, sacred beings or presences, oral traditions, and other interconnected systems and meanings that shape that people's identity and continuity in that place. And then I think the last sentence I left unchanged from what Helen had sent. I think what I had was, yeah, it's exactly the same.
So, but in your first part, can you repeat it? I think we miss the ecological and spiritual. Because I think you just
Yes,
said
and
features.
So I chose, or in workshopping this over the last few days on my own, right? I think that spiritual features are inherently cultural. All cultures have spiritual aspects to them. And I also think that natural features and ecological features are interchangeable. So what I had written there again was a geographic area that includes features which are artificial or natural in origin, associated with the traditional practices of a community, reflecting relationships between people, landforms, water, plants, animals, sacred beings or presences, oral traditions, and other interconnected systems and meanings that shape that people's identity and continuity in place.
Okay, two issues. Number one, Ian, I can send you what Blake sent me, and I'm sorry I didn't forward that to you as well. I think it's more a question right now of terminology and, shall we say, compression of what we're talking about for reference, and you told me this is an evolving definition to a certain extent. So that would be something possible to consider. What I would like to see today, personally, is a definition that we can use as our base definition when we are evaluating any project that is brought to us. And I would say, despite, shall we say, terminology, like I'm not trying to put you down. Okay. Despite,
Oh, that's fine, Helen. That's fine.
I feel comfortable with this, and I don't know how other people,
I feel comfortable with this.
Yeah, I do too. Here's just another thought that, this and it, when it is in its final form, is going to be used, or maybe hopefully referred to by some, maybe a city council or other groups. I don't know. I think things need to be really spelled out clearly, if that makes any sense. Because there will be people in positions of authority who may not understand or really be respectful or of this definition and of the cultural
Yeah, JJ,
sorry.
if I may, Blake, I hear you on the kind of circular, but in this sense, I think it's appropriate. And the reason I think it's appropriate is because cultural resources has become a term that's kind of dominated at least an understanding for these people in authority who are not familiar with the ins and outs of cultural resources.
Yes.
And I think from a cultural landscape, cultural identity is a key trigger for them. And then when you restate it here, you're saying cultural first, but then you're educating them on all the other facets of those features. I think I get where you're saying like artificial. That makes sense to me, but I think artificial is going to be a big question mark for people and natural features. It grammatically it compresses it, it does it well, but we already have that kind of circular reference here. If you look at cultural resources, This is defined already in our C317 policy. It's basically the material culture plus TCPs, right? So what we're doing is we're augmenting that definition to say more, right? So when we have resources of tribal significance, that is cultural, biological, natural, spiritual, and landscape level resources that hold cultural, ceremonial, spiritual, historical, or traditional importance to tribal nations. There is a lot of redundancy in this policy, but it's on purpose. And I know it doesn't sound great, but it's intentional to ensure the repetition sinks in with whatever governing body and the government-to-government relationship we have, that our board of supervisors, our county administration, tribal leadership, and cultural resources staff on the tribe all share a same understanding.
Thank you, Ian. I was just that's what I was struggling to try to say. I feel like, yeah, everything that you said, that there will be individuals in positions of authority who, yeah, and this the redundancy, I think will be hopefully helpful in educating them.
I would like to make sure that if we take this as our base definition, and we are talking about a very tricky case, and we have had some of those, that we are able to refer to this as we are making this decision because it is in line with a definition that we have agreed upon that. Is something that is comfortable for the county, it's comfortable for the city, and it's comfortable for us. And that's one thing we haven't had. And I think, Steve, you would agree that part of our problems in the past is we have had instinctively an understanding of these issues, but we haven't had anything we could point to and say, we are making this decision because, and
Well, Helen, I think the other thing is that this is done in really deep, meaningful consultation with the tribes. And so it's I think that gives this more authority and standing.
it also aligns with the work we did at Plan Tucson. And I don't know whether it was with Pima Prospers or not, but we specifically have one of our points there saying that we wish to have a better understanding of tribal perspectives in what we're doing. So I think it's consistent with the future plan for Tucson.
So, Ian, I have a question. This is a draft document, correct?
Correct.
And there's a possibility, even probability, of some further refinement, correct?
Yes, I would absolutely, but likely the when we presented the revised definition of cultural landscape to the four Southern tribes last week, they seem very satisfied with the changes that we made, that I don't expect significant changes to this definition for cultural landscape. There are other not issues, but other areas of this policy that I think the focus of ongoing consultation is going to focus on. But as far as I've gotten feedback from Pasquayaki and Tana Autumn, this is probably about 95% there, this document. We are doing one additional round of revisions to ensure that everyone feels comfortable with it. And then the estimated timeframe is that it's going to go on to the board of supervisors in September.
So, what I appreciate is that our perspective, our approach to review, is alignment. I don't think there's anything in here that there's any member of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee that they don't appreciate. The way it's worded and crafted, I think, is a question, but that can be worked out at another time. The work that you're doing is fantastic. Thank you
Thank you.
for taking on this work, and we can then mirror it. The historic preservation and therefore historic landscape preservation had been so limited for so long, and we appreciate this expanded definition.
Well, okay, so here's what I'm sort of calling for, if people are comfortable for it. I would like to say to have a motion that we accept this as our current working landscape minus the policy statement at the end, and that until we basically, in other words, unless we change this is how we want to work in the future. And use as a point of reference for our discussions. And Steve, is there anything else that we?
I think your term, a point of reference for our discussions, is the ideal.
Okay.
We aren't not a definition, a body that would create a definition, but if this definition would become a point of reference for our review and our comment, then that is something I think that could be a motion at this time.
Okay, would someone care to make that motion?
That this document is a point of reference
For
for
our
discussions
discussions
and
and
review.
decisions.
Okay, so I'll make that motion that this cultural landscape document, draft document, that we'll use that as a point of reference in our discussions and review. I think too that leaves it open, as this document changes, that that we would continue to use it as that point of reference. Anyway, I was kind of thinking out loud there.
Second, I know you're somewhere around 10.
I am, this is Tim Haggard, I second.
Okay, call roll. JJ.
Aye.
Tim.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Helen. Aye. 4-0. So that passes 4-0. And Ian, if it's helpful to you, we'll obviously put this into our legal action report that you have another degree of support for this approach to evaluating cultural landscapes.
Great. Thank you very much for the comments. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for all the work you've done on this. Appreciate it. Okay, next, are we going to continue to be a hybrid meeting or are we going to become virtual? And I don't know, Jessica is not here, so I guess we should we bump this to the next meeting? Yeah. Okay. So We are going to take item six and move it to our July 15th meeting. And the date of that meeting has been moved. And the reason is that both Steve and I are going off to present at the NAPC conference. So you're on the ground team, as it were, just not going to be around. And again, if we can get our agenda set early, that's great. And otherwise, I think we will.
Item 9, call it to the audience.
Yes, call to the audience. No comments were received and no audience is present. And so I think we will adjourn at the amazingly early hour of 11:26. And thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Well,
Thank you.
I'll see you.
Take care.